Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace. Abhay Charan Arvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Thinking that some bad planet had attacked Krishna, Mother Yashoda picked up the crying child and allowed him to suck her breast. Then she called for experienced brahmanas to chant Vedic hymns and perform an auspicious ritualistic ceremony. Purport. Whenever there is some danger or some inauspicious occurrence, it is the custom of Vedic civilization to have qualified brahmanas immediately chant Vedic hymns to counteract it. Mother Yashoda did this properly and allowed the baby to suck her breast. End of purport.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschatyadesatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya eva cha Patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
So begging for the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, all the devotees, so I can say something Krishna conscious for benefit of all. My biggest anxiety is today is Thursday, right? And Thursday is a cheese on toast day, is it not? So we want to finish on time. Govinda Prabhu is saying he's late, but other devotees are not sure. They're looking down and cursing Govinda Prabhu. So we want to finish on time. Always late, okay. So let's see how it goes. So, a couple of things are happening here. A couple of important points here. So, Krishna's just kicked the cart with his lotus-like feet, which are described as very soft, like a leaf. And the items on the cart, you know, have crashed onto the ground and, you know, there's been a tumultuous sound. And immediately as the gopas and the gopis, the elder gopis hear this, they run to the site, including Nanda Maharaj. And they're trying to wonder, they're trying to work out who has caused this. And they're also contemplating, is there some influence of some ghosts, some bad planets, some demons? And then they ask the children, young children which who are playing where the cart was. And the children said, no doubt it was Krishna who actually touched the cart, who kicked the cart, and the cart toppled over and all the things all over the place. It was Krishna. But all the gopas, gopis, even Nanda Maharaj, neglect what the children are saying. They have so much love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead that they're not willing to accept that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So while all these residents, gopas, gopis, Nanda Maharaj, they're wondering, they're contemplating, and they're inquiring from the children, Mother Yashoda immediately runs. Her concern is Krishna. So she grabs Krishna, she puts her on her lap. And here two things are described in, it's the same thing, but described in different ways. So in the translation, Suktai, Prabhupada is translated as, Apayayat, Prabhupada is translated as, made the child suck. This is word for word translation. And then in the full translation, Srila Prabhupada says, allowed him to suck her breast. Two different things. Allowed him to suck her breast, and the word for word, made the child suck. So the first one is like a force, forcing the child to suck. And the latter one, the full translation, is allowing the child. So how can this be so? This is possible simultaneously, or it really doesn't matter. When there's deep, intense love, when the beloved forces or allows, it doesn't matter. Right? When there's intense love. So here we're starting to hear about the intensity of love Mother Yashoda has for Krishna. It's so deep. So much. We cannot understand. Of course, naturally, mothers have love for their children. And it's described, and Prabhupada speaks about how this is the highest love, example of the highest love in the material world as compared to the spiritual world. So Mother Yashoda has so much love for Krishna. And she puts her on her lap. And when a mother puts the child on the lap, they can see the child, they can feel the child if they've been hurt in any way. So that's what she does. She puts on her lap, and then she wants to give pleasure to the child. She feeds the child, and she wants to make sure the child is comfortable in her lap, on her lap. And not only that. Now we're going to start to hear about her humility. She engages the brahmanas, right, and the priest to chant the Vedic hymns for the protection of the child. Right? So she's thinking, I'm expressing my love, but this may not be enough. Let me also engage other individuals. Let me see what else I can do to serve Krishna. So such is the intensity of Mother Yashoda's love. So we have a question, as we often do, or we have many questions. The question, the main question that we have is, how is it that Mother Yashoda has such intense love for the Lord? How has she developed that? Has it been developed, or she naturally has it? And more importantly for us, how can we develop that love, that attachment for the Lord? That's more of an important question. At the moment, we have attachment for so many other things, right? Except for the attachment of the Lord. We have love for so many other things, and we're intense about that love. But we don't have the intensity of love that Mother Yashoda has. Even though We know we should have that love. We're somewhat practicing to have that love. And sometimes on other occasions we also pray, right? To have attachment and love for Krishna. So how to develop that love, the intensity of love for Krishna? Even if it's not as much as Mother Yashoda, but somewhat. So we're not attached to other things of this material world. We don't have love for other things. Because if we do, then that means we'll continue with repeated birth and death in this world. So that is our main question. That is our concern when we read this particular verse and this purport. Am I right? No? Yes? Okay. Okay. So I was thinking of one particular personality who in the beginning was in kind of like our situation, but then developed an attachment and love for Krishna. I'm thinking of a personality in the Ramayana. Anyone have any ideas who is this personality? Hanuman, yes. Valmiki, yes. There are all the personalities in Lord Ramachandra's pastimes have love for, so much for Ram. But specifically, Valmiki, how he goes through various stages to develop attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I thought I'd relate how he became a devotee. And he came to write the Ramayana, relate the Ramayana to us, to the rest of the world. So this is in the very beginning of the Ramayana, in the Balakanda. Just the first few pages, if you look at the verses of the Ramayana, the first few verses are telling us about the story of Valmiki, how he became a devotee. So, after his worship, his daily duties, after teaching his students, near the end of the day, may have been afternoon, Valmiki noticed at the outside of his ashram an effulgence. And he thought, the sun is going down, how is there that there is so much effulgence? So then he focused his eyes, he looked, he stared, and he noticed a four-headed personality. Lord Brahma was at the gates of his ashram, at the entrance of his ashram. He was on his swan carrier, and he was looking at this personality, and he noticed that this personality has beautiful features, four heads, four beautiful lotus petal eyes, and he was coming off now from his swan carrier and coming towards him. Valmiki was struck with wonder. How is it that, you know, this personality is here? Have I done something wrong? Have I committed some kind of an offense? What's happened? Why is he here? And what do I do now? Right? This great personality has come here. So then Valmiki, Lord Brahma came, entered his ashram, Valmiki offered the usual respect, exchanged nice words, worshipped Lord Brahma. And as he was curious to find out why Lord Brahma had appeared, why has he specifically come to his ashram, Lord Brahma said, Valmiki, I want you to relate the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra to the whole world. I want you to relate Ramayana. And don't worry, Valmiki, I will empower you from the heart. Everything that you need to know, all the details that you need to know, right? All the arrangements will be there for you to compile the Ramayana. And this Ramayana, as long as the rivers are flowing on this planet, as long as the mountains are flourishing with various fruits, flowers and trees and so on, and various herbs, this Ramayana will be recited. And you will remain also ever so famous because you will relate this Ramayana. So I would like you to relate this Ramayana. All my blessings are there. You just start. And then as Lord Brahma had suddenly appeared in Valmiki's ashram, he had similarly also disappeared from Valmiki's ashram. So Valmiki wasn't in anxiety because he had to compile the Ramayana. Because already Lord Brahma said, whatever you need to know, all the details, everything will be there, everything will be arranged for you. You'll be empowered. Right? The Ramayana will come to you through your heart. But Valmiki was in anxiety, Valmiki was thinking, why me? There are so many amazing sages, personalities, devotees of the Lord. But why me? Why did Lord Brahma request me to relate the Ramayana? Sometimes in our situation, when we're given a certain position, when we're given a certain service, when we're recognized by superiors and other devotees, the last thing we think about is, why me? We're thinking, oh, and if someone else has got it, why them? Why not me? Right? So this is the last thing we think about. Valmiki's humility, we are hearing about Mother Yashoda's humility. Here we're hearing about Valmiki's humility. He's thinking, why me? Why did Lord Brahma choose me? Why am I relating the Ramayana? There are so many amazing personalities, saintly personalities, godly personalities, devotees, right? And those jnanis, those who are into austerities, those yogis, they go through severe penance and austerities, right? Putting themselves, their body, right, through so much pain and suffering. Maybe they should be relating the Ramayana. Why me? So that was Valmiki's concern. He was wondering. And then, as he was wondering and pondering, he was looking around in the ashram, in his ashram, and he noticed beautiful effulgent personality. Right? That personality had been residing in an ashram for so many years. He noticed Mother Sita. Because, he thought, because Mother Sita's here, by my mother's blessing, the wife of Lord Ramachandra is in my ashram. Therefore, maybe Brahma's chosen me to relate the Ramayana. But then he thought, hold on a second, why is Sita here? Why is Sita in my ashram? What did I do that Sita is in my ashram? And I am serving her. And my disciples are serving her. I'm giving her shelter. Why is Sita in my ashram? So, he thought that it must be Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra sent Lakshman here, right? And dropped Sita here. So because of Lord Ramachandra, Sita is here. And because of Sita, Lord Brahma has instructed me to relate this Ramayana. But then he thought, why Lord Ramachandra chose me to have Sita at my home, in my ashram? So he thought, years of chanting I've done, the chanting of Lord Ram's names, right, without interruption, because of this. Because of chanting of Lord Ram's name, I've been the chosen one. But then how is it that I was able to chant Lord Ram's name? To get Lord Ram's mercy and to have Sita in my ashram and to get the blessings of Brahma and the instructions of Brahma. So then he went back, all the way back, right? He thought, because of my guru's mercy, Narad Muni. I was a debauchee. I was a senseless hunter. I would kill animals mercilessly. But somehow, Narad Muni was passing by. And although I started shouting at him, what are you doing here? You're getting in my way of hunting and everything. What are you doing chanting names of God, singing and so on? You go away from here. Although I was shouting at him, I was offending him, Narad Muni asked me, said, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Don't you realize that by killing animals in such a way that you're committing so many sins? And immediately, the debauchee that I was, I justified myself to Narad Muni that I'm doing this not for myself, I'm doing this for my family. And Narad Muni retorted with this justification, and he said, if you're doing this with your family, then your family should be willing to share the sin, right? Because of this killing of so many animals. Why don't you go and check with your family? Why don't you go and ask your family if they're willing to share? So Valmiki immediately, incited by Narad Muni, immediately ran towards his family members. And he was disappointed. They said, it's a duty of a husband, it's a duty of the father to take care of the family. How they do it, that's up to them. Why should we share the sin? Why should we share the sin? So then Valmiki ran back, fast as he could. He was extremely shocked by the response of his family. I'm doing so much for my family. I'm involved in hideous activities for my family, and they were so merciless. They didn't even appreciate the troubles I was going through for them. So he ran back fast as he could, and he approached Narad Muni. He grabbed Narad Muni's feet, and he asked him, how can I become free from all these sins that I've committed? My family is not going to share. How can I become free? So then Narad Muni said, I will give you some names of Lord Ramachandra, and I want you to chant these names. So he was training Narad Muni was training Valmiki to recite various names of the Lord, but he was finding it difficult. Raghava, Raghupati, Sitapati, all of these names, Raghunandan. But Valmiki was finding such difficulty chanting names of God, just as we finding difficult chanting Hare Krishna. And he was finding so much difficulty. He was such a sinner, such an abominable person, that he couldn't chant God's names. So then after some contemplation, Narad Muni said, I want you to chant Mara. You're familiar with hurting other people, killing other living entities, animals. You chant Mara, right? You know, like sometimes when someone goes to kill someone, we probably know of this when we watch films and so on, right? You die, right? Like something like this. So you're familiar with maybe chanting this. Animals, you suffer, you die. Yes? So Mara means killing. So I want you to chant these names. Mara, Mara, Mara. And then Valmiki started chanting these names. And of course, he repeatedly said, I want you to chant these names without interruption, right? With all your heart, with all sincerity, and you'll surely become free from all sins. So he started chanting Mara, 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 Mara. And obviously this becomes Ram. So through Narad Muni's intelligence, Valmiki was chanting Lord Ram's names. And by the mercy and the forgiveness of Narad Muni, Valmiki was able to chant these names incessantly. It's described that he chanted these names. Not just for a few days, few hours. It went on. Weeks, months, years, decades. And as he was chanting away, he described that insects were making home around him. Right? There was ants that were growing around him and they made a mold around him. For so many years he was chanting away with such absorption. And the term Valmiki, the name Valmiki, his name was Ratnakar actually. It's described that he was a sage. He was son of a sage, but somehow he got lost in the forest. And he was raised by a hunter family. So his name was Ratnakar. And then when Narad Muni came after so many years, so many decades, and he was being attracted by someone chanting the names of God. So then he heard that there was something coming from the ant hill. Some noise was coming from the ant hill. Could it be that someone's actually chanting away, you know, in this mound that's there, in this hill that's there? And then if, you know, as he went closer and, you know, he kind of, you know, moved some of the things, he found out it was actually his very own disciple, Ratnakar. And he said that from now on your name will be Valmiki. Shishivada Gokulananda ki. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmi Hanuman ki. Shishi Gaur Nitai ki. So from now on your name will be Valmiki, which means one who is born out of an anthill. Right? So, Valmiki got the mercy of Narad Muni. And he was able to chant the names of God incessantly with such attachment and attraction. Through many years of chanting God's names, he became purified. And then, because he was so purified, he attracted the attention of Lord Ramachandra. Ramachandra then decided that best place to send Sita would be to Sage Valmiki's ashram. And by serving Sita, him and his disciples, Valmiki attracted the attention of Mother Sita and then received the blessings of Mother Sita. And in this way, later on, Brahma came and Brahma instructs him. Because receiving such mercy from Mother Sita, you know, going through all these different stages, having the mercy of Narad Muni, his guru, instructed him to relate the Ramayana. I'd become the original, the ultimate author of the pastimes of Lord Ram. And the term Ramayana also is interesting. So we're familiar with Ramayana, right? Ayan means description of a particular character or personality, Ayan. And Ramayana, so therefore Ram, of Ram. Right? Pastimes, particular descriptions, character of Lord Ram. But also the South Indian Vaishnavas, specifically Kamba Muni, he says that Ramayana also has another meaning. Also refers to the pastimes of Mother Sita. Right? Rama refers to, right, Lakshmi, Sita, yes, expansion of Radharani. So also Ramayana. So specifically, because serving Mother Sita, he was being with Mother Sita. So Ramayana is also not just pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, but specifically pastimes of Mother Sita in relationship to Lord Ramachandra. So, what was it specifically that Valmiki do? What was the different stages that he went through in terms of details to attract the mercy of Narad Muni? What was it specifically that he, what are the different stages he went through? So first of all, he followed the instructions of Narad Muni. Narad Muni said, why don't you go and check with your family if they're willing to accept this sin? Why didn't you go and check? So instead of continuing his battering of Narad Muni, saying, you go away, let me continue my hunting, he went to check. So he followed the instruction of Narad Muni. And then he checked and he found out actually my family is not willing to share my sin. Right? So then he thought, what shelter I can take now? How can I become free from this sin? I'm such a sinful personality. How can I become free from such a sin? Let me take the shelter of this personality. You ask me, you know, to do these things. It seems like he knows. So he took complete shelter of Narad Muni. He grabbed his feet. He held on to his feet. You please help me. I don't know what to do. I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I'm serving humanity. I'm serving my family. I'm serving other people. I have no shelter now. I don't know what to do. You tell me how I can become free from this sin. And then Narad Muni instructs him to chant the holy names of the Lord. Right? And he's struggling with chanting the names of the Lord. But he, with the help of Narad Muni, he continues and he follows his further instructions. Right? And to try his best to continually chant without interruption. So this is what attracted Narad Muni's mercy. Following instructions, taking complete shelter, not having any other shelter, right? And wanting to give up one's sin. Wanting to be free from repeated birth and death. Holding on to Narad Muni's feet. I'm not going to let go. You give me a solution. I'm not going to let go. You solve my problems. Because I'm incapable. So with such humility, Narad Muni gave him the mantra. Narad Muni empowered him to incessantly chant the names of Lord Ram. And therefore he was able to chant. So these are the things. Sincerity, following instructions, taking shelter, not having any other shelter. Humility, wanting to be free from repeated birth and death. Wanting to be free from sins. Right? And then that humility also carried on through. Right? In various stages. He didn't become proud that Mother Sita is here now. Right? I'm such a great personality. Yes? He didn't become proud that Lord Brahma is here. Right? Lord Brahma has chosen me. I am the chosen one. He remembered who he was. He recollected who he was. Kept reminding himself, where do I come from? What was my situation? Right? And he's always thinking because of others. Because of others. Lord Ramachandra, Narad Muni, Sita, Lord Brahma. So with such humility, with the desire to get out from this material world, taking shelter, and having the only shelter as the spiritual master, as the Supreme Lord, as the process of Krishna consciousness, and having sincerity in following the process and not becoming proud. These are some of the ways in which we can develop in God consciousness and Krishna consciousness. And we can attract the attention of the devotees like Narad Muni, Srila Prabhupada. We can attract, and if their attention is attracted, we can also attract the attention of, by their mercy, Lord Ramachandra, then Mother Sita. and even his grand spiritual master, who is Lord Brahma. Narad Muni's spiritual master is Lord Brahma, right? Because of such humility, such sincerity, desire to give up the material world, right? Sincerity and determination, right? So these are the ways, right, in which we can develop some attachment, develop some love for the Lord, right? So in case of Valmiki, for Lord Ramachandra, in case here, particular case, Mother Yashoda, such intensity, such love that she had for Krishna. We don't know, and we don't want to go into the topic of if she developed the love or she already had that love, right? But at least if we can develop something, some part of that. And through the story of Valmiki, we get some idea how to do that. Okay? So verse again, reminding us of the attachment of the mother, Mother Yashoda, the love Mother Yashoda has for Krishna. Thinking that some bad planet had attacked Krishna, Mother Yashoda picked up the crying child and allowed him to suck her breast. Then she called for experienced brahmanas to chant Vedic hymns and perform an auspicious ritualistic ceremony. There are many subjects of discussion and controversies, right? Apparently in ISKCON, right? And one is how much shelter we should take of ritualistic ceremonies, right? Vedic hymns and so on and so forth. So the answer is simple. Follow in the footsteps of Mother Yashoda. Why is she taking shelter of the ceremonies, the priests, the Vedic hymns? To serve Krishna. So if it helps us to serve Krishna, right? If it helps us for us to become devotees, then you can take to the Vedic hymns, the brahmanas, the chanting of various mantras and ritualistic ceremonies. Right? So when we delve deeper, when we understand, when we see how the residents of Vrindavan took shelter of other demigods and so on and so forth, what was the reason, then similarly that can apply for us as well. Whatever it takes for us to serve Krishna, to help us in our Krishna consciousness, that, you know, with that determination and with that clarity, we can use anything in Krishna's service, right? And in this way, we can become good devotees. We can make others devotees as well. So in one sense, another way to look at this is Mother Yashoda is also engaging others, preaching to others. You know, and getting others to also help her to serve Krishna. And we have the example of Valmiki, going back. He served sincerity with humility. Then he was given the potency to actually preach, right? So also ability to preach also comes from that as well. So simultaneously we attain everything, right? Going through these different stages. And when we understand these pastimes, when we read these pastimes and hear these pastimes, so everything is here. It's just we need to go deeper, we need to see what are the stages that previous devotees went through. What did they do? And how they applied the philosophy, right? That's there in the scriptures and from what they heard from acharyas, senior personalities, saintly personalities. So I should stop here.